Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Southern New England Sports Original.
Sports Original.
103.7 WEEI. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
No sleep!
We now return to Cordishy and Coit. Call the show at 401-777-1037. Southern New England Sports Original. 103.7
WEEI.
Joe, you like reading my mind or something? This was part of my running mix yesterday.
Wow.
When I was working out.
Well, after, six, 7 years of working together, maybe a little bit of telepathy going on.
That's true. Like little old school rap.
Well, and in the previous segment, it was Sabotage, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, which I tried to tie in with the Bill Robert discussion.
I saw that. Yeah, I get you.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
This and You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party.
Mm-hmm.
But I had, like, Run DMC on there.
I was going to say, now Run DMC is getting in my head. Now the Christmas song's getting in my head.
Now,
yeah.
Rockbox is my favorite Run DMC tune.
I'll queue up some Run coming up.
Now, Naughty by Nature, like, my favorite one is Everything's Going to Be All Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good song.
Very nice. Yep,
that's good. So,
nice.
Anyway. All right.
The good old days of hip-hop.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. They were the pioneers. 401-777-1037, the phone number.
Noted hip-hop historian, Scott Cordishy.
they weren't hanging out with Robert Kraft for clout.
You laugh every time I tell you this, but like when I was in high school, okay, I graduated from high school, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, 1985.
Ooh.
But like I had like a boombox, and you know, my dad, because he was a DJ, had all the music, so like I would record a mix of like the original rap stuff. It was Sugar Hill Gang, Rappers Delight. Yeah. It was Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Jungle. It was like Curtis Blow, Basketball, stuff like that. And we just put it on the baseline while we're doing warm ups for games.
That's it.
Got you walking around like Radio Raheem at Syracuse.
So we're talking about the Celtics beginning their NBA playoff run. The Bruins start tonight. Stanley Cup playoffs begin at home against the Toronto Maple Leafs. 8 o'clock puck drop at TD Garden. NFL draft is Thursday night, just 5 days away from round one. And talking about the story that came out on ESPN.com, Seth Wickersham talking about Bill Belichick not getting the Falcons job and everything that went down as a part of that. If you want to join us, 401-777-1037. The phone number, Matt is in Warwick, wants to talk about the Celtics this morning. Good morning, Matt. You're next on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Hey, morning, guys. And Joe K, you're the king of the rejoins. I'm also
appreciate
happy
you,
that
my
you
friend.
Back at, on at 7 o'clock, which is great for me. Just quick on the draft, just real quick. The quarterback's the most important position, and having a quarterback on a rookie contract is the second most important thing. So I hope they do it and they don't screw it up this time. Now, on the Celtics, I'm glad they got the Heat. Butler's out, Rozier's out. I really want them to smash them pretty good. Leave that with a lasting memory after all the damage they've done to us. And I just want to push back a little bit, Scott. I mean, I don't want to make it a big thing with the Knicks, but I think the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, they're not afraid of the Celtics. They rebound the ball really good. What you said was instrumental. What I said, if they get afraid of going inside on the Knicks, they're just going to start bombing away from threes. If you make them, you blow them out. If you don't, you lose the game. That's what I'm afraid to see. But no, I think they would win that series as well. But it's going to be a big week in New England sports. So thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, no, thanks, Matt. I mean, I think Julius Randle not being there, I think, really
is huge.
Hurts the Knicks, too.
Yeah.
And look, I know I'm not saying the Celtics can't lose to any team. That includes the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are going to be well-coached. They're going to make the Celtics defend them in this series. I just don't think they have enough bullets in their, you know, chamber to compete with, you know, the firepower that the Celtics have.
I'm not as afraid of them without Butler. I'm not as afraid.
Something about Jimmy, he's Freddy Cougar when it comes to the Celtics.
Jimmy, too.
He is the guy. He's the guy. And Adebayo has played well against the Celtics. We know that. But I think they have the horses to go up against him.
But, like, when Butler went down, down the other night against Philly, didn't you think – I thought the Bulls were going to win last night. And they come out, and they don't just win. They hammer the Bulls.
Yeah, right.
It's like, okay, that's part of, like, heat culture. Heat, you know, culture. It sounds corny, but, you know, they lose their best player. You think they're down and out. They're like, ah, they're just going to mail it in. Nope. They lay one on the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's what scares me about this team. There's something about them that they know how to rally this time of year.
A lot of veteran winner-type guys, even like a Kevin Love off the bench. But like,
Celtics are better equipped to deal without a buyout now because of Porzingis.
They are.
Obviously, that's a big help. Mm-hmm. But like a guy like Tyler Hero, who played well last night, seems to play well against the Celtics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep. I see this. I think I would call for this to be a gentleman sweep. I think if the Celtics play to their potential and play the way they should, I would call for this to be a gentleman's sweep.
Nick, I want to see the Celtics dispose of the Heat like they did with the Nets a couple years ago. Get over that hump. I know with Jimmy there, it's a little bit less arduous, but still, get over that hump. Gentleman's sweep at the very worst and keep everybody healthy for Orlando or Cleveland.
But I think the Heat are going to push them, to Scott's point. I think the Heat are going to push them in some ways because they do not. They are well-coached. Again, a lot of veteran guys that have been there, and they just seem to play the Celtics well. They always do. They give them trouble. You know, but you could go through all the teams in the Eastern Conference and talk about matchups and whatever. I think, to Scott's point, the Celtics can be their own worst enemy when it comes to their postseason run in the East, because if they, you know, go up against an opponent, they start doing things that they shouldn't and get out of their own routines and start jacking up threes and all that and what they're trying to do, then yeah, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. And those clutch late game situations, that's still something that we want to see. We're going to get to see, I'm sure, here, maybe even in the Miami series, because Miami may play them tough. You know, so you can go through all the matchups. Like, I still say Philly doesn't scare me. They don't. I know they've played well, and they win the other night and whatever, and Embiid is Embiid. He's good. But I still think, to me, the Sixers to the Celtics are the way I feel about the Leafs to the Bruins. Like, I look at a series, and if they started a series today, I'm picking the Celtics.
See, both of those matchups give me apprehension, Nick, because eventually the other team breaks through.
I worry about that too, Joe.
Yeah, and honestly, this year could be a year where the Leafs get through on the Bruins. But if you're asking me to pick the series, I'm still picking the Bruins because of the history there. They just seem to have their number. And particularly, like, if you're talking about the Celtics and the Sixers, like, I would absolutely pick the Celtics because I just think the Celtics, this is the run. This is it. This is the time, guys. They have built this team to go on a run to a championship. I hesitate to say championship or bust, because if they meet the Denver Nuggets in the finals, like, and say they go 6 or 7 games and the Nuggets beat them, like, you understand it. You probably know why it happened, whatever. And so, yes, it'd be disappointing, but you would get it. Like, it's a good team, defending champs, good matchup. But, you know, not getting to the finals and not getting out of the East, that would be a major disappointment.
Yeah. Especially with the injuries in the East. We just talked about Butler, Giannis.
The road is there.
It's very much clear.
The road
is
there.
The difference, and the one thing I like about the Stanley Cup playoffs that I don't like about the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, pretty much when they get going, your team plays every other night.
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs, they stretch it out so much for TV.
Like Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday,
yeah,
to start.
That's what I'm saying. You play only on 3 games in a week.
No, I hate that.
So the next time we're on the air, there'll only be 2 games under the Celtics belt for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I hate that.
So
I know. But meanwhile, the Bruins will be 4 games into their series.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about which direction this thing's going.
Right.
But yeah, I think
the Hallmark, by the way, starting game 1.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's an interesting discussion,
too. And then how do you handle it moving forward? Do you just simply rotate? Do you go game by game? Or do you ride a hot hand? What do you do?
The point is...
He was criticized for it last year, right? How they handled it.
I think you have to stick with it. And I think...
Stick with the rotation?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think part of the reason, yes, last year, and you were kind of... You stuck with Ullmark too long, but... Also,
and he was banged up.
And he was banged up.
That was the issue that I had last year.
But this rotation, neither of these guys have played in a back-to-back game since, I think, mid-February. So they've been going through the rotation the last 2 months. So you're all of a sudden going to switch that? Now I think you have locked yourself into doing that.
I kind of agree.
And to me, I'm okay with that because I am comfortable. I would lean right now. I think Ullmark has played better the last couple months of the season. I think that's been obvious, and I think that's why you start him game one. But I also feel fine with Jeremy Swim in a net. I do. I feel good about him. And so I'm okay with the rotation. Stick with it. It's worked. And I think it's to your benefit. I think it's to their benefit. And, again, I think you just locked yourself in because I think you've prepared yourself for it the way that you've handled it the last couple months of the season. Yeah. So the bigger thing for me will be how they play in front of him defensively. I think the back end is a huge thing that, the defensive core needs to play well.
What's up with Maroon? Did he end up getting cleared?
Yeah, he's on the ice. Yep, he's played. But I'm less concerned about the forward group, and I'm more concerned about the D-core. I think they need to play well in front of these goaltenders. And then the other thing too that we mentioned last week in passing with the Bruins is they need to figure out this power play. And I think Jim Montgomery's been trying to do that down the stretch. But when you have those opportunities in the postseason, you need to capitalize. Period. You need to have a good power play. And the last time I remember a team that wasn't great, or wait, was it they weren't great on the power play, but they were good on 5-on-5, or was it the opposite? With that 2011 Bruins team.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was they were good on the power play.
I feel like they had issues on the power play.
I feel like it was, too.
I think they were just, they're 5-on-5, they were really good.
Yeah. And that was the last time I remember that. And that even that was like an outlier.
Yep.
You know, this team I don't think is, they have some talent, but I don't think they're talented enough to get through a full postseason without taking advantage of some of their power play opportunities. So you hope that they figure that out, particularly against a team that's as talented as the Leafs. And a team that the Leafs are going to challenge Boston's back end, but I think Boston is going to challenge the Leafs' back end as well. I give the goaltending edge probably to Boston in the series.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how, strong they are, in their back end. So it's, could be a high-scoring series in some ways if that's the case. So we'll see. I'm interested to see how it plays out, but it's the matchup the Bruins kind of ended up with here, losing the last two games. Whether they wanted that to be the case or not and wanted to avoid Tampa, I don't know. There's been talk about it, but they got them, so here you go. You've had their number.
In the NBA, we were talking about this earlier. Like, there's really no series in the Eastern Conference that intrigues the hell out of me. Maybe Knicks-Sixers is something that, like, okay, I can maybe get into a little bit. The ones out west are pretty good.
Yes.
Like, all the matchups out west, I mean,
Clippers-Dallas.
Oklahoma's the one against New Orleans, the 8. Denver against the Lakers, the 2-7. Minnesota-Phoenix, the 3-6. And Clippers-Dallas, Joe, the 4-5. Like, those are some real interesting.
Minnesota-Phoenix. I mean, that is
very interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting because one of those teams you could see. Even the Suns, as much as they've been trying to put those, star pieces together, you never know. Does that click in the postseason? They get past Minnesota, and all of a sudden they're a threat in the West.
What's up with Zion? Is he going to miss the series? Or?
Well, apparently he didn't play last night, and they still got in, in the 8-seed game. Yep. So
yeah, but they don't have a chance against OKC without Zion.
No, I know. You're right. You're right. And that's less intriguing if he's not out there. Shame.
What is his injury now, Joe?
I think it's hamstring. It's hamstring.
It's so funny. Like, I didn't project Greg Oden type, injury with him, but you could kind of tell, like, the guy, when you're that big and that athletic, like, those two teams.
He actually has lost a lot of weight this year.
That's the shame, Joe, is that he's lost a lot of weight this year. That's the shame.
He's just an injury-prone guy.
That whole first game in the play-in was the epitome of his career. Drop 40, but then get hurt. The whole what-if factor.
Stinks because the talent is really, really something when he's on the floor, and I think he proved it this year. I grew to like him a lot this year because he, like, really put in the work, lost some weight, played really well, and I think we all were looking around the league like, like, this kid, if he's going to stay healthy and play like this, that's huge. But, obviously the injury happened. So you'd love to see him get back, hopefully, at some point during this next series because he's an intriguing play out there.
Denver has owned the Lakers the last few years in the postseason. I mean, can LeBron at his age muster up anything and put a scare into the Nuggets? I don't see it happening.
The scare would come from Anthony Davis to me.
Yeah.
That would be the guy that would scare them. But it's – I don't know if they have the horses out there. Though we'll see with Denver. I expect them to make a long run, but the West is intriguing for all those reasons you just laid out. Like, yep. Yes, okay, Denver's there, and you expect them to go on a run, but they're going to have to get past the Lakers in the first round right. With LeBron James.
Right.
No matter how old he is, that's LeBron James out there. So, interesting.
All right, 401-777-1037, the phone number if you'd like to join us. Got the NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs on the table. Got the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. You've got Bob Kraft and his comments in the Seth Wickersham piece, supposedly to Art DeBlanc, Falcons owner, about Bill Belichick. I mean, you've got Belichick joining Pat McAfee with draft coverage this weekend live from Detroit. Does that intrigue Patriot fans like it does to me and Nick? I mean, I'm going to watch that.
Me too.
I kind of want to hear Bill Belichick's insight on the draft when guys are picked, and I want to hear what he thinks just to see if that gives me any insight into what he was thinking these past, 20-plus years here in New England.
He's just going to be more open, I think, and that's...
Yeah, we all know Bill loves punters, so it's a match made in heaven.
Well, that was the joke, was that, like, he's joining a group of special teams guys because he joins the punter and Pat McAfee, and then Adam Pac-Man Jones is on that show, asks him a question. That was hilarious, by the way. First of all, Pac-Man, that was BS, the punt return you had when you were playing for the Titans. And he knows the story, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is classic Belichick. He sees the guy that's special teams that he was always intrigued by, and he goes right after him. It was funny. It was a nice moment.
Yeah.
How about McAfee? That show, man, he is – that same show, he had Caitlin Clark walk in and on set and do an interview with him, too. So you're talking about like that.
Do you watch the show, though?
I do at times.
Sometimes I have it on during lunch, right? Yeah. I'm eating a lunch, and I'm like, I just instinctively turn on ESPN because I'm a sports fan. But it doesn't really do much for me. You know what I mean?
Maybe not for you, but the influence that he has and the guests and all that jazz, powerful.
Speaking of Caitlin Clark,
yes.
I'm going to ask you a question about her when we come back.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. We'll take a timeout. 401-777-1037. The phone number. You're listening to Cordishian Coit on WEEI.